Turn your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 11 through 14. Psalm 27. If you found Psalm 27, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Psalm 27, verses 11 through 14. I'll read the odd verses 11 and 13. If you'll join with me on the evens, verses 12 and verse number 14. Verse number 11 of Psalm chapter 27. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses arisen against me, and such are cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And let's pray this morning. Father, again, so good to open up this good book and read from it. And Father, we're wanting you to show up this morning. And so we need the Holy Spirit to be here. I'm upon this place. And Father, I pray that your presence would be known. And then this morning, if, Lord, we hear something that speaks to our hearts, I pray that we get it right and we'd, Lord, be in touch with you and in tune with you this morning. Well, thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Walking in darkness, sad and alone, searching for a love that was real. Then I heard about Jesus, and he saved my soul. Now I want to say how I feel. I'm saved like a drowning man pulled from the sea. Saved like a prisoner from captivity. Saved like an outcast with a new family. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. Now I'm a child who's an heir to a throne, with a father who owns everything. My sin debt was settled, and heaven's my home. Redeemed, my soul now can sing. I'm saved like a drowning man pulled from the sea. Saved like a prisoner from captivity. Saved like an outcast with a new family. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved, saved, saved.
Not for that. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Good song. This morning, I want to speak to you out of verse number 13 today in Psalm 27, give you the setting of the chapter and the interpretation of the passage, but I'm going to center the message on verse number 13. I want to speak to you today on this subject. It's not time to faint. It's not time to faint. It's not time to faint. Let's pray together. Our Father, help us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we're not here to have a pep rally. We're here to look into your book. Your book is the only thing that stands. And I pray that you'll help us to stand on that which does stand. And Lord, encourage our hearts and speak to us and help us. For Lord, we need it. We're needy people this morning. Come and visit among us, please. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Rough week. rough week. Actually, about the what? Last 7 to 10 days have been brutal. You start down there a week ago Wednesday in Charleston. A deranged idiot. Nutcase. He should already be dead. He should already be put to silence because he was guilty. He took 9 lives and all the taxpayers' dollars that have been spent, will be spent, he should have been already hung. He's a nut. Caught in the act. He's done. He's guilty. It's crazy. But now all the fallout. Way overboard. Yeah, taking every Civil War monument away and let's change Robert E. Lee Boulevard. Let's change the name of that street. And by the way, folks, Louis Farrakhan's already come out calling for the change of the American flag. Okay, he's already done that now. So it's not enough to get rid of the Confederate flag. Now we're going to get rid of this one. And folks, if you're not, hello, awake enough now to realize there's enough nutballs in this country to probably just do that if we're not careful. It's out of control. Supreme Court upholds nationalized health care. Once again, Chief Justice John Roberts sides with the liberal judges and sells this nation down the river of financial ruin. That's all it is, folks. Affordable Health Care Act, what a joke. It's incredible. And I remember talking to somebody months ago after the first time he voted. When he could have been derailed months ago. And talking to somebody about how John Roberts sold us out. And they said, well, he's a smart man. Kind of like, you know, his IQ and his intelligence prohibit him from making a dumb decision. I'm amazed at how much this country, and I'm amazed at how many Christians worship scholarship and worship education. Worship it. You know, I'm amazed. You know, you got a woman without clothes on in a magazine is pornography. A woman without clothes on in a website is pornography. A woman without clothes on a canvas surrounded by an expensive frame is culture on the campus of a Christian university. It's batty. Makes no sense. It's batty. So, you know, just scholarship. We worship scholarship. Almost like John Roberts is so educated, he couldn't possibly. There's a lot of educated nuts. Ever learning and never able to come to the truth. That's what the Scripture says. And then, of course, you had the ruling on Friday where the same court, on a vote of 5-4, I believe it was, ruled for sodomite marriages to be recognized and legal and recognized in every state in the union. Basically, just kicked the states to the curb and said it doesn't matter what a state believes. And then you add to that Monday evening storms and the power outages and the flooding and rough week. Discouraging week. My soul was disturbed. And I really struggled to know which direction to go in the message this morning. I mean, I was struggling. I couldn't get it settled. I couldn't get it settled Friday. That's late. I couldn't get it settled Saturday morning. That's later. I couldn't get it settled till yesterday. And actually, I really wish some of you folks who only come on Sunday morning would come back on Sunday night, because I'm not done with it from this morning. Got a different direction tonight and probably next Sunday morning as well. It's that magnitude as far as I'm concerned. Now, the direction I'm going this morning, I know God brought me here. And I want to preach to this text. He brought me to verse number 13, where David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, there's no question as to the fact that David penned these words. That's a given. But when he penned them is kind of up in the air. However, When you read the entire psalm, it reads as if he penned this after leaving the presence of Saul. Remember when Jonathan and David got together and Jonathan said, I'm going to go to the banquet table, to the meal with my dad. I'm going to kind of feel him out in his attitude towards you. And he did, and he found out real quick that Saul was very angry at David and wanted to kill him. He even tried to kill Jonathan at that meal. And so Jonathan met David in the woods. Remember that in this field, and the boy shot the arrows. That's kind of going in the story. Basically, Jonathan tells David, you better hightail it. You better get out of Dodge. Because Dad's coming after you. And so David ran. And when you read Psalm 27, I believe it was written at that time when David is just starting to flee from the presence of raging King Saul. And it's a song. That's what a psalm is. A psalm is a song. And so it is a song of confidence, first of all. And I'm not going to preach on this, but I want you to see verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I cannot read, the Lord is my light, my salvation, without remembering back to the Pacific Garden Mission Choir that sang in our old building. Probably 29 black guys and one white guy. And they sang, the Lord is my light and my salvation. It was outstanding. It was tremendous. I love that, what David says in verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Look at his confidence in verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Look at verse 3. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Boy, it's a song of confidence. A song of confidence. Confidence in the Lord. But now, wait a minute. It's also a song of concern in time of trouble. Because he starts down there in verse number 7, and he says in verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, verse 8, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. Oh, wait, whoa, David, what happened to that confidence? Now it's like your lack of confidence. A great confidence. The Lord's my light. The Lord's my salvation. God, don't hide yourself from me. Folks, isn't that really a good picture of life? Our confidences are somewhat shaken by our concerns. We're like the man talking to Jesus who said confidently, Lord, I believe. And then we're like him when he said, help thou mine unbelief. I think that's a picture of life. You know, we're very confident in the Lord, but at the same time, we're very human. And it's kind of like, you know, we got our confidence, but you know, at the same time, we have our concerns. We're confident God will help us. God, will you help us? We're confident God will be our guide. Lord, will you lead me? It's like, whoa, here, which one are you? It's like, what do they call that? Bipolar. Okay. But that's life. That's real life. And not just real life for us, real life for people who were in the Bible. Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. That's crazy. But that's life. And so you got a song of confidence here. You got a song of concern here. But I want you to see at the end of the psalm, after David talks about his conviction, the psalm of his confidence and his concern, he sings about his conviction. In verse number 13, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here is his conviction. His conviction is, I'm going to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Austin, if you need to, you might want to slip her out because you got a lot of folks behind you there, bud. And they'll help you back there in the nursery, okay? And very glad you're here. Very glad you bring your family to church. I mean, that's a blessing. Here's his conviction. I'll believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to believe to see it. In fact, he says, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, folks. Because you know what? Yes, we're confident that we're on the winning side. We're confident about this book right here. We're confident. But at the same time, we have some concerns that come our way after a week like this. But we must live by conviction. And one of the things we must live by conviction is we must believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I was supposed to talk to you about it this morning. I want to show you three words. I want to show you the word fainted. Fainted. Do you see that there at the beginning of the verse? I had fainted. Now, one of the definitions from Webster's dictionary fits this verse, this word. It means to sink into dejection, to lose courage or spirit. Are you listening? To lose courage or spirit. Now, that's what had happened to David. Here he was. He was the anointed king of Israel. He was already victorious over Goliath by this time. He was the leader of several military escapades. And now he's on the run for his life because of a deranged king. This is not how it's supposed to be. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Dejection, loss of courage, loss of spirit. I've lost my courage, a little bit of my courage. I'm under it. I've lost a little bit of spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I wasn't totally surprised Friday when the announcement came out, but I was disappointed. I guess I had held out a little hope that the vote would go the other way, that the voice of the people would win the day, the voice of the majority, as state after state after state after state has voted against sodomite marriages. I was just hoping that that would win the day, but then to hear the news, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. And you know, I'm going to be very candid with you. You call this weak if you want to. You call it wicked, call it what you will. But I'll tell you what, I was under a cloud. And I didn't plan to be. But I think an oppressive spirit just came over me. And I don't think I'm the only one. And I came to bus meeting yesterday, and Brother Luke had a great message for us at bus meeting. But you know, it was just the whole spirit of the meeting. Just kind of... And you go out visiting, and it's kind of like... I'll be very candid. It's kind of like, what's the use? Loss of spirit. Loss of courage. I'm not supposed to live in a country that was founded on the Bible, founded on the precepts of God's Word, that put a stamp of approval, and not just their stamp of approval, but celebrated. Celebrated. Sodomite marriage. It's not how it's supposed to be. I had 8 grandkids. I'm not so sure that the 3 over in Madagascar are better off. And 3 more on the way. Leah's expecting. Found out Monday. Hannah's expecting. Found out Friday. Abby's expecting. Triple header. Patting up the wallet. It's not supposed to be this way. I'm not supposed to live in a country like this. And so it's like David, hey, I'm the anointed king of Israel. I'm not supposed to be on the run for my life. I should be doing an internship right now at the palace under King Saul, waiting to be made king when he passes off the scene. And I'm running for my life. I had fainted, David said. I lost courage. I lost spirit. And if you're honest this morning, many of us, all kinds of emotions flooded our soul, I think. But when it all settled, I was just kind of just reeling. A little bit of loss of courage, loss of spirit. Fainted. Fainted. It happened to David. It happens to God's people now. Maybe it's happened to you. Fainted. That's the first word. Let me give you the second word this morning, and it's the word faith. Look at the verse. You say, Pastor, I don't see the word faith in verse 13. Do you have a pen handy? I want you to circle 3 words. Believed to see. That's faith. Believed to see. It doesn't say see to believe. That's sight. Believe to see, that's faith. See to believe is not faith. Believe to see is faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Hey, child of God, we don't walk with the attitude of, "I need to see it to believe it." We walk with the attitude of, "I'm going to believe it in order to see it." That is faith. That's walking by faith. Walking, believing to see, not seeing to believe. Let me give you a couple of examples. Noah. If Noah had waited to see rain before he believed it was going to rain, he would have drowned. You with me? If Abraham had waited to see the land that God wanted to give him before he left his country, he would never have seen it. If Rahab had waited to see the destruction of Jericho before she put the scarlet cord in the window, she would have died with all the others. Are you with me? But Noah and Abraham and Rahab and countless others, they believed to see. They lived by faith. We're going to believe to see. Noah believed to see rain before it rained. And guess what he did? He built the ark. Abraham believed to see the land before he saw it, and he left his country to go find it. Rahab believed to see deliverance before deliverance came, and she put the scarlet cord in the window. That's living by faith. That's faith. David almost fainted, but David said his salvation, his salvaging, the reason he didn't faint was because he had faith. He believed to see. Even when it didn't look like it, he believed to see it anyway. Are you with me so far? All right. You got the word fainted. You got the word faith. Now look at this, the word favor. I just changed the word just to be alliterate this morning, alliterated in the outline. Favor is the word goodness. Do you see it there? You got the word fainted. Then you've got believe to see. That's faith. Then you've got the word goodness or favor. Goodness is designed as kindness. Favor shown. Acts of benevolence, acts of compassion, acts of mercy. Now, this is what David believed to see. This is what David, by faith, saw. David said, "I almost fainted, I lost courage, and I lost spirit, and I almost fainted, but I believed to see the favor of God. I believed to see the goodness of God. I believed to see." Now, listen, folks. How was he seeing it? He was chased by enemies. He was on the run. He was not supposed to be running. He was supposed to be in the palace with as an internship. But by faith, he saw the favor of God. By faith, he said, "I will not keep my eyes on the circumstances that are current and present in my life. By faith, I'm going to look beyond those and see the goodness of God." See the goodness of God. And by the way, I like those last little six words in the verse right there. In the land of the living. You say, "Well, Brother Angel, Pastor, what David was looking forward to heaven in the land of the living." No. No. We went through those lessons on how to study the Bible months ago. Use a concordance. Type in the land of the living, that phrase. Punch the button. You're going to find this used 15 times in the Old Testament. 15 times. Not in the New Testament. 15 times in the Old Testament. Every one of those 15 times, the land of the living is a reference to life here. I'll give you an example. Isaiah 53:8. Anybody know something about Isaiah 53? It's a chapter about Messiah, Jesus. Listen to verse 8. About Jesus. Listen. "He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation?" Listen. "For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." What's that talking about, folks? Cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was it? That's talking about his crucifixion. So the land of the living is a reference to life right now. Present circumstances. So catch what David said. He had lost courage. He had lost spirit. And it would have become worse had he not by faith chosen to see the goodness of God in the midst of present circumstances. I'm on the run. I'm hiding like an animal trying to save my life. I'm the anointed king. It's not supposed to be like this. I shouldn't be hiding. I should be in the palace. What am I doing being chased by enemies and dogs and people? What in the world? And he's losing spirit and he's losing courage. Life is not supposed to be like this. But he got his eyes. He said, I'm not going to faint. It's not time to faint. It's time to lift up your eyes and by faith see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And people, that's exactly where we are today. I'm not against us being, I'm not mad. It happened to me. You just reel a little bit. Did you ever get sucker punched? Man, I was playing a basketball game one time, and I played ball in high school, and they came up with the idea of having summer leagues, and we played, forget the name of the high school we played. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't bring it. We were having a game there, and I played center in the middle of the lane, you know, and this guy was pinching me. I guess that kind of fits the president, but he's pinching me. I said, finally, I turned around. I tell him the referees, and they weren't paying. I turned around. I said, you pinch me one more time, I'm going to deck you. Well, he didn't wait for me to deck him. He hauled off and just standing there, just standing on the court. Bam! Sucker punched me. Man, broke my glasses. I had to go sit on the bench. I had a friend named Russ Phillips. He was the center on the football team. He was playing basketball just to help keep in shape. He did play basketball with us when football season ended. And old Russ was Robert Horman on steroids. What do we call Robert? Tank. Get him, Tank. So Russ says, come on. Come on, at the end of the game, come on. So he walked up to that tall guy. He's my height. Russ is, you know. He said, hey, you hit my friend. Yeah, well, so what of it? And he dipped his knees, and he came up. Boom, right here. That guy's head back. He went, boom. Out cold. Who said basketball is not a contact sport? Brother McDonald? I felt like I got sucker punched Friday. Even though I suspected it might happen when it was actually announced. And then I slogged through hours of just loss of spirit and loss of courage. But yesterday afternoon, God, please, what verse in your scripture do I need right now? What verse does my people need? I had fainted unless I had believed to see. I had not read that verse this week. I had not studied in the book of Psalms. Nobody on youth conference preached on that verse. God spoke to my heart. He said, you go to the pulpit and you tell the people of Faith Baptist Church that we got sucker punched. And we might have a little loss of spirit, loss of courage. But folks, it's not time for us to faint. Not time for us to faint. It's time to get our eyes up off the present day circumstances in the land of the living and see the goodness of God. Because regardless of what happened in Washington, D.C. or Charleston or anywhere else in America or around the world, God is still good. And that's not some kind of poppycock. That's truth. Here's what I wrote down, three things. We're done. Number one, not one thing that has taken place this week affected my salvation. Not one thing that happened this week affected my salvation. Brother, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. And then you got up here and saying, saved, 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 I am saved. I'm just sitting back there thinking, man, all right, praise God. I believe I'm plugged in. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm so saved, it's pitiful. I'm in the hand of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says He's in the hand of God. And brother, in that kind of protection, there is nothing on heaven or in earth or under the earth. In hell, there is nothing that can change or alter or take away or bother my salvation. I'm saved and secure forever and ever and ever. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And brother, in the present circumstances in the land of the living, I can take courage. I'm a born-again child of God. This is not a pep rally. This is Bible truth. This is how you respond. Our Bible is relevant for our daily living. And God put these things and recorded them for us in the Scripture so that when a Friday, June 26, 2015 happens, you and I can run to the Scriptures and get a little something out of there and say, you know what, old David kind of went through something like this many millenniums ago. Take courage. I love, you know that song sometimes we sing, How Firm a Foundation? You know there's actually about 7 verses to that song. This one is not in our book. At least I don't think it is. Maybe don't go looking for it. Okay. Listen to this. Listen to this verse. To how firm a foundation. Remember how firm a foundation. Okay. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, nor never forsake. I love that. Was it George W. Truett? Or somebody years ago had preached on Hebrews, something about Jesus never leaving us. And an elderly lady was leaving the service and went by to speak to the preacher, the pastor. And she said, Pastor, your sermon this morning reminded me of that verse in Hebrews 13 where Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that preacher said, ma'am, did you know that in the Greek, that word never means never, no never, no never, no never, no never, no never, no never. And she said, well, you may need him to say it 10 times. One time is good enough for me. I love it. Amen. Not one thing that happened this week has affected my salvation. Number two, not one thing that has taken place this week changed the authenticity or authority of the Bible. In fact, if you're a Bible believer, the only thing that this week did was make it more credible. Men are going to wax worse and worse. Worse and worse. Brother, that book stands. I love that song. We sing it once in a while. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted, mid the raging storms of time. And the storm is raging, isn't it? Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand though the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Would you like to hear a good story about that book? I preached with Brother Edwards up at the conference, he and some other guys, Brother Edwards from Toledo. And he and I have been friends for many, many years. It was good to be around him a little bit. He told me the story of a saved Muslim who's coming to his church. He didn't get saved at Toledo, the church in Toledo. He got saved somewhere else. But Brother Edwards was with him one day, and he said, tell me how you got saved. And he said, well, I got so sick of the Quran. There's nothing in it. And he said, I started questioning all the things that we were taught out of the Quran. It was just a dead book. And he said, my dad got nervous and started taking me to that big mosque. There's a great big mosque outside of Toledo out there somewhere. He said, my dad started taking me to that great big mosque. He said, you know, he said, the Quran, he said, I thought to myself one day, the Quran's an old book, but there's one that's older than the Quran. He said, I got the Bible. He said, I opened it up and I started reading it. And he's talking now to Pastor Edwards without the inflection that I'm using this morning. He's talking to Pastor Edwards. He said, Pastor, that book spoke to me. He said, it scared me. He said, it scared me so bad, I put it on my floor and didn't touch it for 3 weeks. He said, I've never had a book speak to me. Y'all know what he's saying? And he said, finally, after 3 weeks, I got into it again. I forget exactly how. He went somewhere where they were preaching that Bible, and he got saved, and now he's going to Brother Edwards' church. But folks, there is that book in your hand this morning is not just lifeless words on paper. It's just not another book on the shelves of time. This book is the eternal truth. It is God's Word. It will never, ever falter. It will never, ever fail. I don't care what man does. It never alters or changes. This book, it doesn't change it a bit. That book stands today as much as it stood in centuries, millennia in the past. Aren't you glad you got a book to build your life on that stands? Number three. Not one thing that has happened this week caused God to come off His throne. God didn't wake up on Friday out of a deep sleep and say to Gabriel, "Oh my, what's happened?" God rules. Well, if God ruled, why did He let something like that happen? I don't think we need to ask God why. I think we need to ask ourselves why. I don't think you need to put God on the hot seat. And God needs to put us on the hot seat. God's on the throne, folks. And I'm in touch with Him. I'm saved. I'm His child. You know what? I don't like what's happening. I can't believe it in some ways. I can in others. And I'm just like, but I, by faith, I am going to see. Well, you never seen God on His throne? No, but I believe to see it. I believe to see it. I know He's there. That book says He's there. And when the heavens were opened in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw Him on the throne. And when the heavens were opened in John chapter 4, 800 years later, and John looked up there, He was still on the throne. And the seraphim and angels that were circling around the throne were doing the same thing in Revelation 4 that they were doing in Isaiah 6. So for 800 years, those angelic beings are circling the throne. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. It kind of sounds like He just lives there. It's where He is. And chaos breaks out on planet Earth. Doesn't shake God one bit. Not one bit. By the end of the day yesterday, by the end of the time I was penning this message and digging into this a little bit and trying to come up with something from the Scripture that God would give me to come to you with on Sunday morning, 2 days after a vote like that was announced. I know they voted some months ago, but that was announced Friday. And brother, after studying this and putting this together, you know what? I finished up yesterday having a pretty good day. And I started out this morning having a pretty good day. You know what? I was rocked a little bit on Friday. But I tell you what, I had fainted, and it would have been worse had I not by faith decided, I'm going to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God's still good. God's still good. Well, you know what they're going to do now? The churches and the... God's still good. He's so good. It's pitiful. It's wonderful. And it's not time to faint. It's not time to go to work tomorrow with your tail tucked between your legs. It's not time to go to work tomorrow. No, it's time to go to work tomorrow with your head up, not proudly, not your nose in the air, but with your head up, having read your Bible, having prayed, having talked to God, realizing that you're saved, eternally saved by the blood of the Lamb, that you're into a book that is eternal truth. I mean, God's holy word, and that the God that wrote this book is still on the throne. It's time to live in your neighborhood. It's time to go to your family gatherings. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to the store without not fainting. We don't need that, Christians. We don't need that. And we don't need to rally around a little bit of a pep rally and then tomorrow or Tuesday, we need to grab hold to a scriptural truth and say, you know what? I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That means today. That means now. And by the way, isn't that what salvation is? Believing to see? You see, Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Nobody in this room saw that happen. But everybody in this room can believe that that happened. And if you never believed in Jesus for your salvation, trusted Him and Him only, then friend, you got a bigger problem than a country that just voted like it did Friday. Your bigger problem is you're apart from God and you're going to spend eternity apart from God in that place called hell. What you need to do is come this morning and trust Christ as your Savior, be born into God's family, and brother, begin a journey of living by faith. Amen. Believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that the kids sing a little song about that, don't they? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord to me. What have you seen since Friday? Newspaper? Fox News? What have you seen since Friday? What you need to see? The goodness of God in the land of the living. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, help our people, help our church, help Christians, people throughout the nation this morning. It's not time for us to faint. It's not time for us, Lord, to lose spirit or lose courage. It's time for us to, by faith, see your goodness in our present circumstances. God, help us. Help our country. Help us as your people. Speak to our hearts. Please, make your word powerful in our lives. Help us to live its truths and live its principles. Encourage us today through the Spirit of God, working through the Word of God, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A couple of questions. Would you please give careful heed? Even though your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, would you please give careful attention? Pastor, I was a little bit shaken on Friday. I lost a little spirit, a little courage myself. And I'm glad to be reminded this morning that it's not time to faint. And I want to be the right kind of testimony and witness in the week to come and the days to come. I want to live by faith. I want to believe to see the goodness of God, even in present-day circumstances. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning all over the room? God bless you. Amen and amen. Thank you. Take your hand down. God bless you. Let me encourage you this morning. If the Spirit of God was kind enough to slip by your pew and say a word to you about this and encourage your heart, it's kind to respond the same way. Kneel just for a minute. Stand at the altar. Just pray. And ask God to, more than just hear it in church. Now take it home and live it. Let's live it. I'm not saying be careless or unconcerned. But I'm saying we don't need to lose courage. It's not time to faint. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, heaven is my home. I'm assured of that. I'm positive of it. I know that I've been saved. Would you slip your hand up if that's your testimony this morning? Be honest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one here would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then because I don't know. Would you slip your hand up? I couldn't raise my hand just then because I don't know. Anybody like that in the room today, front to back, side to side? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't know. Somebody lift a hand this morning. I'll pray for you as we close. If you're not sure, I want you to be sure. I'm not trying to make you lost. But I want you to be sure. Now, maybe somebody here that's been saved but not been baptized since you've been saved. You want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism like the young lady did last week. You come and see one of these fellows or come and set up a time to talk about it as the Lord leads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, in the land of the living, in this present day, in these present circumstances. You are a God that favors us. Lord, help us to lift our eyes up beyond what's taking place here and believe to see how good you are. You are so good. Regardless of what happens here, you are so good. We love you. Help our church. Help our people. Please help our country. In Jesus' name.